Hello and welcome to the Inquiry Teacher podcast. I'm your host, Matt Fletcher. I'm on a personal journey of self-discovery, seeking to uncover the secrets of becoming an inspiring educator. In each episode, I'll be joined by experienced educators who excel in their fields, engaging in conversations that touch on a wide range of topics. We'll explore the strategies, stories, and insights that can help all of us on the path to becoming better educators. But that's not all. We're not just looking at the past, we're also keeping our gaze firmly on the future of education. That's why I'll be sitting down with entrepreneurs from the ever-evolving world of EdTech. Together, we'll delve into innovative solutions and trends that are shaping the classroom of tomorrow. Whether you're a teacher, a student, a parent, or simply passionate about education, then this podcast is for you. So join me on this exciting journey as we unravel the mysteries of teaching and learning. The Inquiry Teacher podcast is here to inspire, inform, and empower you on your own educational quest. In this episode, I have an enlightening conversation with Mike Rutherford, the brilliant mind behind Growth Over Time, a transformative learning platform designed for both students and educators. Mike's journey in education is nothing short of extraordinary, as he's worn multiple hats throughout his career. So tune in as we delve into Mike's remarkable journey, the philosophy behind Growth Over Time, and the profound insights he's gained from his diverse roles in education. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Inquiry Teacher podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by Mike today on the podcast. He is a creator of the Got Learning platform, which I've been using with my classes. So I'm very excited to get Mike on today and let you all hear about his amazing product. So welcome, Mike.
Hey, Matt. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm very excited. And as I mentioned right before we were talking here, I'm excited because I get to go after your last podcast was Alexis Wiggins, who I'm a big fan of as well. So it's an honor to be here.
Brilliant, brilliant. All right, so could you tell us a bit about your background in education, Mike, and what inspired you, you know, into creating Got Learning does?
Sure. Right out of university, I went into the classroom and became a social studies or history teacher here in the States. And I did that for a few years, but that was right when technology was starting to come in the classroom. People, the internet had just started and not started. It really started coming out to everybody that you could use a dial-up modem to get on the internet. And I left the classroom and started teaching teachers how to use technology in their classroom. I was still in my same school system, but I just took a job as they call them ed tech coaches now. And so went through a whole bunch of different things, became a district technology coordinator, went into the private sector after a few years and started the K-12 group at Blackboard, which is an LMS company, and brought their higher ed based LMS into the K-12 space. And did that until we went public and left and went and joined a educational publishing and consulting professional development company for many years, but returned to the classroom after many years and realized that the technology that was available to me in the classroom was the same as it was when I had left the classroom many years before. So that's where I ran into the problem that we'll talk about with Got Learning, what Got Learning solves. And basically built Got Learning version 1 while I was a classroom teacher. Left the classroom, built Got Learning version 2. And as I told you before, I just took a class as an English language arts teacher because it was driving me crazy not having used Got Learning version 2 as a classroom teacher. And I really wanted to do it. So I'm now teaching one English language arts class at the Agnes Irwin School, which is an all-girls school here in Philadelphia on the East Coast of the United States. So I'm doing both of those things right now. So I've kind of given up naps for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, busy guy then, busy guy, right? But at least you get to see how your product is working in the classroom, and I suppose it will, you know, help you to project your product faster, I suppose, being able to apply directly what you see is needed.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it. One, I love teaching, and I have missed it over the last 4 years. Two, I don't want to miss the real big year of generative AI being being thrust upon us inside the classroom.
Yeah.
And then three, I really want to see how GOT Learning is used and how I can use it, because it's built around the pedagogy that I had in my classroom back when I originally built the first version.
Okay, right. So could you tell us a bit more about like what GOT Learning is and how that links to your pedagogy then?
Sure. Well, GOT Learning is, as I said, I didn't have the kind of technology I needed in my classroom that matched what was going on in my classroom. And I did have a learning management system. I also had access to Google Classroom. I had tons of educational ed tech apps available, but a lot of them were very teacher-centric. They weren't about the student. And they definitely weren't about the student and teacher interacting about their learning and providing feedback to show that growth over time. And I basically wanted to have a tool that allowed the teacher and student to do online what we do face-to-face in our classrooms. And those are have learning conversations. So I built GOT Learning to be a two-way platform where the student and the teacher co-create learning. And that's the big thing that sets us apart from everybody else's is the way that a teacher and student can interact. A student can put up a rough draft. The teacher can provide feedback. Peers can provide feedback. They can revise. You can provide more feedback or reteach or those kind of things and be able to show that growth over time and the student go back and be able to find it. I always found it a little bit crazy for me organizational-wise is I really spent almost 50% of my time searching for learning evidence. Where did the student put it? Is it in their notebook? Is it in Google Docs? Is it in a Google folder? Did they put it in Classroom? Did they email it to me? Is it in a notebook? Is it in their bottom of their locker? You know, and then not only that, the feedback that I provided would many times disappear. Now, and that includes in Google Docs, where if someone, you know, resolves the feedback that you give them, it's literally was at the time 7 clicks away. Well, if you have 125 kids and you have to do that 4 or 5 times on each of their papers, you're clicking thousands of times in one day just to find out what was the feedback that I gave them and did they actually implement that? Or am I just giving the same feedback to the student over and over and over again? And those kind of things were all percolating. It's like, why can't I have something that puts everything in one spot that allows for me not to have to search, not to have to have the students search for it, but we know exactly where things are to be able to communicate about their learning over time.
Yeah, brilliant. And you know, you really see that with the app. I've been using it as well. I used it towards the end of last year when we first got connected, and then I've started this year as well. But it's like you just dip into it and everything is there, right? On the timeline, you can find everything. There's no folders and files to go through. There's no different submission points. It's literally everything is there. Any idea that they can come up with, whether it's a class note and then they take a photo of it and put it into the timeline, it's all combined. And it's a really good body of work to show, you know, from the initial idea that the student has had on a particular concept to the actual end result, whether that be an assignment, a project, a presentation, or something like that.
Well, thanks for explaining it way better than I did. That was awesome. I appreciate that.
It was scripted.
I turned that question on you and said, Matt, why don't you answer that? So, yes, thank you for doing that.
What sets GOT Learning apart then? Because I know a lot of schools and institutions will be forced to use some apps or some software for them to be able to upload submission points. What are the unique features or approaches then that you've integrated within it? I know you've mentioned a few, but if a submission point has to be through Google Classroom, how could a teacher use this to complement what it is that they've already got in school?
Okay. You have three questions there. And so I'm going to try to answer all three of them. The first off is like kind of what sets us apart. And I believe what sets us apart is that we know the game. And I'm not saying that teaching is a game. I'm talking about the overall thing is that we know what's going on in the classroom. I mean, in the way that we want to teach. There are, you know, if you're looking to teach, test, and hope for the best, we're not your platform at all. But if you're looking to work with students at a personalized learning level where you can personalize and meet their needs at an individual level, then that's what really sets us apart. We're not a teacher-centered platform. We're a student-centered platform. And that was one of the big things that kind of drove me crazy. Second question that you had was, you know, what if it requires, you know, if schools that require people to use a certain platform in like something like Google Classroom. The way we've built Got Learning is that we're technology neutral. We want you to be able to use what you want to use. So if you love using Flipgrid or Flip, or if you love using Algebra Nation for your mathematics, or even Khan Academy, or you want to use No Red Ink on reading and writing, those are the kind of things that you can actually link to quite easily inside of Got Learning, inside of the context of the learning conversation you're having with your students. Google Classroom is no different. So if you have to use Google Classroom, you can link directly to Got Learning's learning conversations quite easily by just taking copying the conversation or copying the assignment, putting it into Google Classroom, or even putting it into, if you're using Instructure Canvas or Schoology, you can have kids go right there. And then that's where you can have your conversations back and forth over time. And then when you need to get to the point that a student needs to turn in or publish their assignment or their learning evidence so that you need to summatively evaluate it, you can do so in those platforms if you're required to do that. We've made it pretty easy. Does that mean we have special, you know, APIs that make those connections? No, we haven't created those because we haven't really seen the need for that to be done. I didn't have to use it in my classroom. I'm not using it with the school that I'm working at right now has an LMS and also allows teachers to use Google Classroom. I could easily link to things inside of Got Learning and back out at systemic levels to be able to help you out. So there's an easy way. There are some easy ways to do that to remain technology neutral to be able to help out. Help out teachers. There's help things on our website on how to do it.
You are really proud of the product you created, and you're really hands-on wanting to get feedback from the users. I think that seems to be really key. You like to connect with other educators and to find out how to make it better. What are some of the success stories that you've received already about how learning has been perhaps enhanced in the classroom for both teacher and student?
Well, we've had a lot of them, and I'd have to go back to the very beginning of Got Learning version one when I was building it in my classroom at the International School Bangkok. I was teaching English language arts, and I was conferring with kids, talking with them about their reading and writing, and I was taking notes, they were taking notes, and we were publishing them into the same place so that we had kind of a running record of their learning, if you will. And one of the huge successes that happened is a couple weeks beforehand, I was sitting at a student concern meeting with a teacher, with all of my middle school teaching team. And my math teacher, the math teacher I taught with, had asked me, she goes, wait a second, we were asking about all the kids and we had published who all the kids were we were going to talk about. And at the very end, someone asked about another student named Adam. And they said, well, how's Adam doing? And everybody kind of just chimed in. Nobody brought any work or learning evidence to share this. And someone says, I'm concerned about his writing. Mike, how is he doing on his writing? And I literally just with Got Learning just pulled up his writing from August and then showed his writing from where he was at the beginning of November and put them both up on the screen at the same time. And that's where that math teacher came and said, okay, how do you keep doing this? How do you keep being able to get to things so quickly without us saying that we were going to do that? You didn't have to go find it, anything else. You just had it right there. And that was like this cool moment because I added her. She goes, I want to do this. And so I built it into Got Learning, built her a place in Got Learning. This was not, at first, was not something I was trying to take out onto the market. I was literally just helping myself be a better teacher and meet the needs of kids and have them have ownership of their learning. And it was really interesting. About three or four weeks in, she runs down to my classroom and says, "Oh my gosh, do you know what I did?" And I said, "Well, what did you do?" And she goes, "Well, I tried to come to your classroom yesterday, but you were in the middle of class. We didn't have, our schedules didn't line up, so we didn't have the same lunch, and we didn't have any free periods. And I ran off to sports where I coached afterwards, so we didn't have a chance to talk." She goes, "I was able to go into your class and check on something I needed to know." And what it was is one of her really, really strong math students all of a sudden started falling apart and started falling apart on word problems. And she couldn't figure it out. So she was like, "I wonder what his reading level is and what he's reading." So she jumped into Got Learning, went over to my classroom, looked at the student and found out that in our sixth grade class, he was actually at high second grade reading level. And she realized right there, "Oh my gosh, I need to scaffold these word problems to be able to help him, because he can't, he's incredibly good at math, but he just is not a high level reader yet." And so that was a huge success story when we realized if we break down the walls and allow people to be able to see what's going on in each other's classes. Other thing is, I just heard from a science teacher here in the States at a school district outside of, in Illinois. His name is David Eady. He said to me, I'm going to read this real quick, he said, "I've never been able to provide such timely feedback as I have with Got Learning. Treating students' submission of evidence as a conversation is a wonderful change to the learning cycle. It's so easy to have students view labs and activities as active learning that progresses through a conversation instead of simply another assessment of their understanding that ends with a grade." Now, that's huge, because you're now talking about focusing on learning as opposed to focusing on the grade. And we're starting to hear more and more of those, Matt, of those are from teachers. The students like it because their voice gets heard. They're able, they have a place where they can put what they think into a place in the context of their own learning. Instead of everything being taught from one source goes out to everybody, now everybody has that chance to be able to do it. So the students absolutely, absolutely enjoy that as well. You are exactly right. We're very open to feedback. Very open to feedback, because I mean, heck, we built a platform that's about providing feedback. If we weren't able to take feedback, that would kind of be a huge contradiction. So we love to hear from teachers, because we're both my co-founder and I are actively using the platform in our classrooms right now. And so we're learning about how to make this, how to make ourselves better teachers and make kids better learner, help them become better learners, and how we can do that together. And the more information we get from practitioners, the absolute better.
Do you know, one thing that I've seen a shift in my classroom from using Got Learning is, you mentioned that there's that place where they can put their ideas and they can put it there. And I tell them that this channel, like, only I can see it. And it's a, think of it as like a scrapbook of everything that you want to do. And I've found that students are less worried about making errors and making everything perfect, that they're quite comfortable of just, sticking in a few ideas there, or typing a first draft, or asking questions for feedback or how they can improve. So I think for those students, obviously in the classroom, we have students that will come up to you with their book and say, can you check this for me? And they're confident in doing that. But for those students who are perhaps a bit more reserved of asking for that feedback directly to the teacher, I found that it's worked wonders. It's really been a great tool for them to express themselves and to be able to see how they think and to see how they approach a task, which I think has been a real eye-opener for me in some ways, for those students who perhaps, don't reach out as often as we would like.
Yeah, well, that's a great comment. Thanks for sharing that. I would agree with you. It helps out the introverts that aren't the ones who are going to, jump up and say things. The ones that are literally processing on the way home on the bus or after school at athletics or whatever it may be. And then you get that random comment inside of Got Learning at 7 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock at night. Hey, here's my thinking. And the next thing you know is you have, five or six paragraphs of this unbelievable, cool train of thought from the student about something that you wouldn't think you'd easily get somewhere else. So that is one very big key point. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, no problem. The one thing, I suppose, is as it's a program to use, like what sort of data and analytics do you have available? Like how can a teacher see progress for those who are listening and have yet to go into the Got Learning app?
Well,
can you give a brief overview of like the type of things that they can see to help support student growth?
Well, one of the interesting things whenever we as educators hear data, the immediate thing we think of are percentages, graphs, and bar charts, and pie charts as well, right? And I got a lot of that information when I was in the classroom, and I was like, you know, that this is awesome. I get it. I see where people are at that one point of time, and I can see systemically if we put them all together. But what the thing wasn't helping me was how did I work with Andy and get him to be able to work on his verb tenses. You know, English was his fourth language, completely verbally fluent in English plus three other languages. But when it came to writing, his verb tenses were just all over the place. And every time I met with him, we kept talking about the same thing over and over again. Quantitative data wasn't going to show me that. It was just going to show me lower test scores, or he missed these questions, or whatever it may be. But qualitative data is what I was swimming in. That, as an English language arts teacher and a social studies teacher, I was swimming in qualitative data. So how could I capture qualitative data and show writing, their writing growing over time that they could actually see, I could see, and everything else? Not test scores and not grades, because that really didn't help me get them to be better writers or readers. But how can we capture that learning and that growth over time? In if you don't know, GOT Learning stands for growth over time, which I know you know, Matt, but for listeners out there, is growth over time learning is the name of the company. We just call it GOT Learning because otherwise we're going to be talking about it forever. But we worked really hard to try to make it easy for teachers to have access to this qualitative learning data, because the student, you're not the teacher isn't the one who's putting all of this in. I mean, just today in my classroom, we did our first quick write, and it was fantastic. The kids they actually handwrote it, and they scanned it in, and they put it inside of their writing life folders inside of Got Learning, and now it's all there. And now I can go, I can provide feedback on that, or not feedback, or maybe I'll provide it in another week or whatever it may be. But capturing that in this linear context, where you can see where they started, where they're going, how they're going, where they're in, what they're doing next. And not only do you get to see that, so do they get to be able to see that, and make plans about that. This is where I'm going. This is who I am as a writer. This is what I'm working on next. Those things are so powerful to have all in one place. So analytics, people usually think of analytics as dashboards of quantitative data. And while we do have some things like who hasn't turned in assignments, who hasn't even looked at an assignment, or who's read it, or who's in progress, or who's turned it in, we do have all those kind of things. But right now we're building a dashboard, that we built our very first dashboard of qualitative data, so that you can see your most recent conversations, things that kids have put up, students that have turned in their assignments, awaiting feedback. So we're still working on what a qualitative dashboard looks like, so that it makes it easier for you to do that. But generally, to answer the original question, is really focusing on qualitative data and being able to see that at an individual level and see that over time. Is what we excel at. So that's the best way to look at analytics. If you're looking for true, to be able for you to analyze their learning, that's the best way to be. We keep getting better and better and going up. And it seemed logical to me that we should have conversations that way instead of broken across windows or in a constant scrolling of back and forth. Why don't we have what our rough draft was, the feedback or peer feedback that we have, the revisions next, possibly another series of feedback, have them have publishable work, that's ready to go, and then have a reflection right after that. So you can see that growth, and the way that is a linear process. And so that linear process is easy to lay out inside of technology. We just have to go sideways instead of doing it vertically. And I think we've always done it vertically because that's the way we've always done it. Just like, why do we use LMSs when we really want to personalize learning? It's because that's the way we've always done it. And so I think a new, fresh way to look at it was very much needed. And it's funny because outside of education, people sit there and they scratch their heads and they go, that's weird. That's really weird. But you put it in front of a teacher or a student who's going through the process and they're like, yeah, I get that. Yeah, this makes sense to me, you know, and it's like, and that's what we want to do. We're not trying to impress the outside world. We're trying to help teachers and students in regard to student learning.
And I think that's, you know, with your experience in the classroom, I think it's really aimed at, you know, the educators out there. And it does make a lot of sense when you look through it and you find it quite a natural tool to use. Are there any future developments that are coming up in the pipeline? I know that you've started to integrate AI into the program itself. I was just wondering if there's anything you'd like to share with our audience of what's coming up next for Got Learning.
Sure. Well, first off, we're constantly iterating the platform. Iterate meaning we're constantly updating it and adding things to try to make things better, faster, more efficient, and effective for teachers and students in regard to learning. How can we get to learning faster? We even have a rule that we called getting to one click. And we have a lot of our users who've been around for a while know that this is a deeply ingrained thing. And they'll come back and say, okay, there's something that I'm using four clicks for every one of my students every single time. And I have 150 students. So that's, you know, I'm doing 600 clicks instead of 150. What can we do to make that happen? Or how can we change that? So we're constantly working on changing that. You're right. We have added moderated AI feedback into Got Learning so that you as a teacher can get assistance on student work, whether it's a Google Doc or a PDF or a Word file or even a lab report that's in a PDF or Word file or whatever. You can actually use your own custom prompts and get feedback and decide whether or not to use that with the student. We are just this week releasing a custom feedback prompt bank specifically so that in your class, Matt, you can make your own prompts. And with those prompts, you can decide when to use them and get rid of them or archive them for later so that you can quickly get to whatever you're on, depending on, you know, sometimes you want to put in rubrics or sometimes you want to put in specific things in regard to getting feedback from the AI. Second thing we're going to be doing is turning that into student-facing prompts. And so while you're in an assignment and you get to a certain checkpoint, you as a teacher will have prompts available that the student can choose to go to get immediate feedback. And this is what's really cool because we want feedback to be timely. And if it's a Friday evening that a student's actually working on something and won't see you till Monday or Tuesday, they can get feedback on how you set it up using your prompts for the student-facing feedback. So that's going to be coming down the pike as well, hopefully in the next
month. That's really cool, yeah.
Which would be super helpful. The other things that we're working on is how can we report learning in what we're doing? And that is like a dynamic competency-based reporting tool so that we can show, you know, you had asked before about analytics of showing the growth over time. And that's exactly what Got Learning is looking to do, whether you're doing it with Mastery Transcript or you're doing it just with competency-based education or standards-based grading. How can you take this wonderful learning evidence that you have inside of Got Learning and place that into a thing to say, the student has demonstrated, or even the student can put it in, I think I've demonstrated this, and then you can actually have a conversation about that. Whether it's face-to-face, online, at least you're recording and having that evidence right here. So it's kind of like this living, breathing, super hyper portfolio that you can use. I don't think that's a real thing that I just made up word-wise. But that's what it's about. But to do that, you have to capture learning as it's occurring so you can get to those points. So those are some of the things that that we're working on. Along with multiple other fixes inside the platforms that teachers from around the world are actually requesting.
What advice then, Mike, would you give to those teachers who are interested in using GotLearning and want to integrate it into their classroom? Is there any tips or advice on how to shift that kind of mindset to allow that to incorporate into their teaching practice?
Yes. The first thing that comes to mind is to quote Ted Lasso, who incorrectly quoted do you remember the episode where he's playing darts and he misquoted not Waldo Emerson, Walt Whitman. He said Walt Whitman said, be curious, not judgmental. And I love the fact that I love that quote, and I love what actually happened in that scene. But it isn't Walt Whitman that said that. No one's exactly sure who said that. So I kind of attribute it to Ted Lasso. But I would say be curious, not judgmental. Check out there is a new way to do things outside of your LMS. Ways that you can meet the individual learner where they are. The LMS was a fantastic tool. It was imported in from higher education back in the 1990s. And it really hasn't changed since then. It's very teacher-centric. Try something that gives students ownership over their learning, and you'll start seeing amazing things. You heard Matt talking about it a little bit earlier, about his students were just trying this or putting things in here, had great ideas or went down things like that. That is exactly the way we should be. We should let kids be passionate about their learning, try and fail, learn from those failures so that they can grow upon those to learn and grow to new heights. So definitely try out this new way of interacting with your students. Jump right on GotLearning and GotLearning.com. There's a little thing that'll walk you through that. There's even a sample class so you can see. But just remember that this is not something that you're 100% putting everything in. It's co-creation of the student and the teacher together. Actually, students and teachers together to co-create this learning. And it's absolutely brilliant. Once it starts rolling, you'll see the power of what this can do.
I definitely have. So, if you're interested and you're listening, then definitely check it out. And if you have any questions at all, do reach out, because Mike is very hands-on in getting back to you about any of the feedback that you provide. So just to finish then, Mike, what does the future hold for education technology? And how do you think platforms like your own Growth Over Time will contribute to that ever-evolving landscape of education?
I think we have a lot of different big waves that are coming in right now, to kind of use this metaphor. And some of the waves have already hit our shores. And whether it's competency-based learning, personalizing learning, hitting the 21st century thinking skills that we've talked about for so long, the soft skills, wherever, all the human capabilities where AI falls short is what we really need to be focusing on. That's the critical thinking, emotional intelligence, complex problem solving, creativity and collaboration, all those things that we need to teach the kids are so highly individualistic. And the feedback is highly individualistic, that we need technology to help us with that. We don't really need technology to help us quiz somebody on what happened in 1492 or 786 AD. Those are things we can look up. Now, do we need to have foundational knowledge of lots of things? Yes. But we really, once we get that, we need to move on and get to things like people working together to solve complex problems. And that includes, that critical thinking, analysis, those kind of things that we need students to do. That's where our technology should help us. That's the kind of things we should be doing in our classroom to help kids. So I think that's the shift we're going to start seeing. So I think there's going to be a major shift over the next couple of years as we get away from teacher-centered platforms in one lesson for all kids, or to where we individualize and we meet the student where they are, the individual student where they are, and lead them to new places in their learning. And I think that's exactly what's we're basically going to go back to the basics of good learning theory, and have our technology help us with that.
Yeah. All right. So that was a lovely way to end, and I'm sure that will resonate with a lot of the listeners that listen to the podcast. So thank you for that, Mike. Where can people find you or get in touch or get to know more about Got Learning? Could you perhaps share with the channels that you prefer for listeners to get in touch?
Sure. I mean, first and foremost, this is gotlearning.com. You can get on the website. You can try Got Learning for free. You can use the individual teacher version for free indefinitely. And other places, you can hit me up on Twitter. We're at Growth Over Time. And then also at LinkedIn, either Mike Rutherford or Got Learning. You know, that those are probably the two major places. We also do have a Facebook teachers group that you can join. We do a lot of surveying and getting feedback from things there. And we also release a lot of things from our testing cycle there first, so we can get feedback from people. So if you're interested in seeing what's coming down the road, that's a great place to be.
Okay, great. Well, I'll put all of the links into the show notes so that the listeners can access and reach out to you on those channels, Mike. And just want to say a huge thank you for coming on and talking about growth over time. I know it's been a long time in the making getting this podcast together, but it's been really great to discuss and for you to share a bit of insight into, you know, your thoughts and your direction for growth over time. So thank you so much, and I truly appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you very much for having me on the podcast. It's been an honor to speak with you, and it's also awesome that you're using Got Learning in your classroom, and I love the fact that you are willing to provide feedback and help us make it a better platform for everybody. So that is absolutely fantastic, and thanks again for having me.